Welcome into a new episode of the Bengals Beat podcast presented by Free Store Food Bank. I'm your host, Kelsey Conway, and it's an exciting week here in Cincinnati. Today, while I'm recording this, after this, I am going to be headed over to the Bengals facility because they are starting their joint practice just one day with the Green Bay Packers ahead of their first preseason game at Paycor Stadium on Friday night. But this joint practice is going to show a lot. So far, minus the day that Joe Burrow got injured, there hasn't been a whole lot of news coming out of the Bengals training camp. It's kind of been business as usual, which is good. Obviously, the thing that you're hoping for in training camp is that everybody gets out without any injuries. It sounds like the Bengals definitely avoided a massive injury to Joe Burrow with it just being a calf strain and not something more serious. But because the team returned so many starters, there's not many positions in the starting lineup where guys are competing for it. So it's kind of been a training camp where it's been about looking at the reserves, those second and third lines of who's going to be able to make the team, not so much focused on the starters. And of course, as we know, Zach Taylor does a really good job of managing this long training camp. It's a long month of August, and he does a fantastic job at making sure when specific players need veteran rest days, they get them. So all in all, there hasn't been a ton of practice where all starters have been on the field practicing together because at various points, players have been dealing with strains. So this will be the first time that you'll get to see these Bengals practice against another opponent, and that is the Green Bay Packers. And what do they bring to the table? And coaches find these practices to be so valuable because you can control what happens there. In preseason games, you can't control what the other team is going to do, but there's a mutual agreement from Zach Taylor and head coach of the Packers, Matt LaFleur, on what exactly these practice plans are going to look like and what's on the agenda for each side. Zach Taylor said offensive coordinator Brian Callahan will meet with the Packers defensive coordinator Joe Barry to talk about if the Packers want to show this look, what they're hoping that the Bengals show. This is the time where you're really able to stress and find out things that you want to fix against an opponent in a controlled environment. And last year, when the Bengals hosted the Rams for the joint practices, they had 2 days of it. Of course, the final day ending in a fight, which is something to keep an eye on sometimes during these joint practices. That does happen. But with it only being one day, I doubt that that's going to happen here at Paycor Stadium. But as always, stay tuned. Follow me on Twitter because I will be there reporting live from the practice, which I'm looking forward to being able to bring you guys some observations that we haven't seen yet in training camp. So to kick things off today with our podcast, I'm going to start with the news and updates from the last time I talked with you guys. And there have been a couple newsworthy items to discuss. Let's start with the Bengals agreeing to a contract extension with linebacker Logan Wilson. And that happened last Friday afternoon after practice. It was, I think, 5-6 o'clock at night on Friday. And all of a sudden you get the news that the Bengals shockingly signed Logan Wilson first. And it wasn't a shock in that Logan Wilson is going to be a Bengal for a long period of time. It's that the order in which this extension happened. I think a lot of people heading into this preseason were under the assumption that Burrow's extension had to happen first simply because of the chunk of money that he's going to command. And they need to know exactly what that number is to be able to pay players like Logan Wilson and T. Higgins. Well, Katie Blackburn said back in owners' meetings in March that that didn't necessarily need to happen that way. Of course, a lot of their priority was on Joe Burrow. It still is on Joe Burrow, but it sounds like being able to get this Logan Wilson deal done, that the Bengals know exactly what Joe Burrow and his camp wants, which allowed them to be able to get this deal done for Logan Wilson. And it was a great deal for both sides. Logan has been one of the Bengals' best players since he was drafted, and that 2022 draft class is stacked. Joe Burrow, round one, T. Higgins, round two, Logan Wilson, round three. Those are three guys that you are hoping that you can keep on your roster, and that's always the goal when you're drafting. Can you get those players to those second contracts? And the first one from that class happens to be the Bengals' middle linebacker, who has been awesome at taking the ball away on defense since he got into the league. And what really stands out about Logan, in addition to what he's able to do on the field, is his leadership and the way he conducts himself in the locker room and on the field. He's played through a number of very serious injuries. He said, when I asked what's the hardest thing you've had to deal with so far in his career, it was dislocating his shoulder back in 2021 and having to really play through that and then get the surgery after, which delayed what he was able to do in training camp last year. He said that taught him a lot about what he can do and how he's going to approach his career in football, knowing that it is a hard sport and demands a lot of you physically. And the Bengals reward him for his play for the last couple of years. Now he'll be under contract until 2027. The deal is a reported 4-year deal worth up to $37.25 million. And Logan was just, you know, business as usual when he spoke to the media after he signed the deal, saying, it was an off day for me. When I came in to sign the deal, and he celebrated with his wife with breakfast and then went to Pilates, got his massages, and business as usual, of course. And I think that's what's made Logan be able to be so successful, is that he has been able to take care of his body. He is very serious about his approach. And as you know, the longer you can stay, I love this line, you can't make the club from the tub. And Logan Wilson knows you can't get to where you want to be in the NFL if you're constantly injured. And he reaps the benefit of his serious approach. And the Bengals are happy that they have one of their core players in town until the 2027 season. So if you're looking to buy a new jersey, Logan Wilson would be one I'd recommend, because he's going to be here for a while. And what's also huge about the fact that the Bengals were able to sign Logan Wilson first, I don't think there was ever a question about if the Bengals were going to be able to sign Logan. He said he wanted to be in Cincinnati. The Bengals front office has said they'd like him to be in Cincinnati. Both sides wanted to make it work, but there was always the question of, are they going to be able to fit all these pieces together with Burrow and T. Higgins wanting a certain amount of money, and then of course Ja'Marr Chase next year. And Logan's deal fits nicely with what they're trying to do. It's a good deal in terms of what he wanted and just market value. But what really stands out about Logan's deal is that the Bengals were also able to keep Jermaine Pratt, which caught a lot of people by surprise. And now that you have Wilson under contract through 2027 and you have Pratt under contract through 2025, the Bengals now have one of, if not one of, the best linebacker tandems in Cincinnati, in the NFL. And those guys are going to be here for the next couple of years. And if you were to ask a lot of people that covered the Bengals year round after that AFC Championship loss to the Chiefs, you didn't know if the Bengals were going to be able to keep Pratt, because he might have priced himself out of being able to return. And everyone always knew the focus was going to be on Wilson because of the role he plays as the Mike linebacker, wears the green dot, communicates with defensive coordinator Lou Anarumo through the helmet. Well, the Bengals have now found a way to keep them both, and it's an underrated piece of this defense. And I think you're going to see just how strong those two players are for this defense and how it can really help them out this year. And defensive coordinator Lou Anarumo spoke to the media after Logan's deal, and he said, in this division, in the AFC North, you have to have linebackers who can run and hit, because the way the Cleveland Browns, the Pittsburgh Steelers, and the Baltimore Ravens want to run the ball. And Logan adds another element of being able to take the ball away, but when it all comes down to it, being able to stop the run is one of the most important things for this Bengals defense, and they improved vastly last year in that metric. Logan Wilson and Jermaine Pratt are going to be two of the best. They have familiarity playing next to one another. They almost sometimes don't even need to talk. They can know exactly what each one of them wants to do without necessarily having to say. And when you're able to play fast because you know what the person next to you is going to do, that can allow you to do a lot more things. So I'd say that's probably the biggest news item to come out of last week from the Bengals. So now I want to fast forward to this past week and what's been going on. Just a couple of injury updates. Charlie Jones suffered a shoulder injury last week that looked like it was pretty serious, but he was able to bounce back in short time and was on the practice fields on Monday. And the reason I bring that up is because for Jones, if he were to have missed time in the preseason, that was going to really hurt him because his competition with Trent Taylor for that punt return spot is going to be one of the biggest competitions to watch in the preseason because those two right now are neck and neck. Of course, Taylor would be ahead of him. He's ahead of him on the depth chart simply because of his experience at the position, but the Bengals drafted Jones for a reason, to take over eventually as the slot receiver, Tyler Boyd entering his final deal in Cincinnati. And of course, to add an element of speed and finesse in that punt return game that they've lacked over the last couple of years. And really the only way to measure where Jones could be at in that part of his game are the preseason games. Yes, of course, they return punts in practice, but there's nothing like the live element of returning punts and kicks. And you've heard Darren Simmons, his Bengals special teams coordinator, talk about it all the time, how much those games really can shape what they think of a player in terms of what they're going to be on that special teams unit. So good to see Charlie Jones back, and it looks like he'll be able to play in the Bengals' first preseason game on Friday. So keep your eye on that competition. And Alex Kappa is dealing with a strain of some sort. He was held out of the team portions of practice on Monday. Zach Taylor saying it was a strain. He didn't go into what kind of strain it was, but it allowed the Bengals to try some things at right guard behind Alex Kappa right now. Max Sharping would be your lead guard to take over if anything were to happen, but just keep your eye on that Alex Kappa strain. We'll keep you posted today if he's back in the lineup against the Packers. As far as other injury news, Travion Williams has been back at practice. He hasn't been practicing, but he's been standing there participating in the huddles and, you know, really giving some advice and being active in practice. But he is also someone similar to Charlie Jones where these preseason games are going to matter for him in terms of those roster spots. So we'll keep an eye on that and see when he is able to return. All right. So that is kind of it right now for some news and notes of what has happened over the last week in the Bengals world. So now I want to focus on breaking down the Bengals' first depth chart. They released their first unofficial depth chart because it is a game week, and it provides you a little bit of a closer look at what head coach Zach Taylor might be thinking in terms of his lineup. As I mentioned at the start of this podcast, the Bengals don't have a ton of openings in their starting lineups, so what you're able to gain from this depth chart is really about the second and third strings, and there were some interesting notes that I want to talk you guys through. So let's go to the Bengals' first unofficial depth chart. So when I first looked at the depth chart, something really stood out to me. And obviously I knew that when the Bengals drafted Miles Murphy, it was more of a depth choice there. And that's how strong the Bengals roster is, that they didn't need to take a rookie to start. But when you look from the depth chart top to bottom, the fact that the Bengals don't have one rookie starting is crazy, in that that's how strong and experienced their roster is heading into this season. And when Joe Burrow is able to come back, they will enter this year as one of, if not the biggest contender to the Chiefs in the AFC because of the amount of players they have returning. So the biggest takeaways come from the second and third string. And what I thought was most interesting looking at the numbers, and of course they call this the unofficial depth chart, but it does give you some answers as far as who they could be thinking is the third or fourth string cornerback, who's the backup center, just some takeaways like that. So if we're starting off looking at the receivers, that's where it's going to get interesting, is obviously you have your top three. And I would even go as far to say that Trenton Irwin is booked, locked to be the number four wide receiver on this team. He has looked really good in camp and, of course, showed what he was able to do last year. But who is going to take over that fifth and sixth spot? Or are the Bengals going to keep seven receivers? We will see. But right now, keep an eye on some of these names. Stanley Morgan is someone that they've really liked from a special team standpoint. He is fighting for a roster spot against Trent Taylor, Charlie Jones. Those three guys I will be very interested to see because they're all supposed to play a huge special teams role on this team. How many of those guys are the Bengals going to keep in that wide receiver room? And so we'll see who's going to really become that fifth and sixth wide receiver that the Bengals will have to count on. And I don't think all three of them will make it, but obviously they could keep seven receivers, but I think whoever pulls ahead in the punt returner role will get one of those final roster spots at wide receiver. So keep an eye on those three names. Another position group that I found interesting, and I didn't think that it was ever going to be a competition coming into this season, but they did put Jonah Williams as the starting right tackle, and the Bengals weren't ever going to pay Jonah what they're paying him to come back and play this year and not be the starter. So, you know, there was somewhat a lot made of, is Jackson Carmen fighting for a spot against Jonah Williams? No, he is not. Of course, Frank Pollock in the line of we want to compete all the time won't come out right now and say that Jonah is far and beyond, but the depth chart tells you they're happy with what Jonah is doing. I had a chance to talk with Frank Pollock about Jonah. He's happy with that, but the depth chart shows you Jonah Williams at right tackle over Jackson Carmen with Cody Ford behind them. And that was a little bit of a surprise to me because the Bengals signed him in the offseason for some depth at guard and at tackle. And for him to be that far down the depth chart is a little interesting because now you start to say, well, is he even good enough to make the team? And he has not stood out in training camp thus far. So we'll see if he's able to start jumping off the field in terms of you're noticing him more. But as of right now, you haven't seen a whole lot from Cody Ford. Tight end looks, you know, exactly how you'd expect it. Irv Smith was always going to be the number one with Drew Sample behind him. Mitchell Wilcox is still working his way back from an injury, but those are likely with Devin Asiasi. Those are likely going to be your tight end room. And at this point, you'll have to see if Mitchell Wilcox will beat out Devin Asiasi for that third tight end spot with Drew Sample clearly taking over the number two role. And then when you move on to the quarterback room behind Joe Burrow, you've got Trevor Siemian listed as number one, which likely means that the Bengals decided to go with the veteran in the number one spot, Jake Browning backing him up. But there's very much a competition there. Both of them have looked good at times and both have struggled. And they will decide, based off these three preseason games, who is going to be the best person to be Burrow's backup when he is back. Is it going to be Trevor Siemian or is it going to be Jake Browning? We will see. And that'll be something that'll be talked about a lot in the preseason. And at running back, Joe Mixon came back, took a pay cut, was always going to be the starting running back once he decided to do that. But behind him, as I mentioned with Travion Williams, him being injured right now, fortunately, the Bengals know what he can do. So it's not a matter of they've never seen him play before. But he is injured and fighting for a spot with Chris Evans and Chase Brown. And this is the year for Chris Evans to show what he can really be in the NFL. He's had time to get acclimated to the NFL. He has made plays at time for the Bengals, but there's also been some, where is he in terms of coming along? Because he has flashed, but there's also been times where you're hoping he can give you more. And this is the year that he has to show that he is capable of being on a 53-man roster in terms of what he can provide. So keep your eye on Chris Evans this preseason. And of course, Chase Brown, the Bengals draft pick. They have high expectations for him ever since he came out of the draft out of Illinois. But a lot of what they're going to see what he can do is pass protection wise. What can he do from a pass protection standpoint? In the preseason, you don't really get to evaluate what a running back can do in that space without a game. So these three games are going to be huge for Chase Brown. Let's go to the defense now. Same what you would expect in terms of starters returning. There isn't a position on the starting lineup that the Bengals needed to fill with a rookie. Where there were holes, they decided to fill in free agency, which I think is a really smart strategy. We'll start with defensive end. Sam Hubbard, of course, returns with Cam Sample listed behind him. And then they list Miles Murphy, who it's been an interesting training camp for the Bengals' first round pick. He's shown his athleticism and his speed in terms of what he can do on that defensive line. They've moved him around inside, outside. But there hasn't been a whole lot of Miles Murphy is, jumping off your note sheet because he's had such a good day. But again, it's hard to measure how far along he is when he's not able to really get after the offensive line because of the limitations in practice. So he'll get a ton of preseason reps. He will be a part of what the Bengals are going to try and do this year. They drafted him in the first round for a reason to be able to help them. But so far, I would say that Joseph Osai has had a much stronger training camp than Miles Murphy, which of course is good for Osai. At nose tackle, DJ Reader, of course, leads the way with Josh Tupou behind him. And same with BJ Hill at defensive tackle and Zach Carter, who they expect to take a leap this year. He's done a lot in the offseason to lose weight, to get stronger, and you're going to need that third interior defensive tackle, because if DJ Reader or BJ Hill goes down, you've got to have players behind them. At least I think they need to have two quality backups that they believe that can start in place of either one of those guys, and they know that they have that with Cam Sample. Do they have it behind BJ Hill with Zach Carter? That's something that you'll see in the preseason, and that if I had a star position that I'm going to be watching in the preseason, it's going to be defensive tackle, specifically Zach Carter, because I think it's just such an important position in what Lou Anarumo wants to do on defense, to be able to make sure that you have a backup that you believe in if something were to happen to BJ Hill, and also to be able to rotate those guys to give them some breathing room on the side, because sometimes these games go into overtime. You got to have fresh people ready to go on the sideline. So keep your eye on Zach Carter. He's someone that I think is going to make a big jump this year, and I'll be interested to watch him during the preseason. Linebacker, I just went into it a lot, so I'm going to save some time here. Logan Wilson leading the way with Marcus Bailey behind him. Of course, with Joe Bocci really being that third linebacker behind Wilson, and then the other linebacker, obviously, Jermaine Pratt. And I want to spend some time talking about Akeem Davis-Gaither, the Bengals linebacker who really you wonder what's in store for him, because you didn't know if you were going to be able to keep Jermaine Pratt and Logan Wilson. That came as a bit of a surprise. There was always that hope that if the Bengals weren't able to keep either of those guys, they believe in Akeem Davis-Gaither, they think he's good enough to be a starter, that they had him to fall back on and he could assume a starting role for this team. Well, Pratt and Wilson are both back. So where does that leave Akeem Davis-Gaither? He still sits behind Pratt on the depth chart, but this year is a really critical year for him, because after this season, he is going to start to wonder, am I capable of having a starting role at another team? Obviously, it's not going to be with the Bengals, given that Pratt is signed through the 2025 season and Wilson signed through the 2027 season. But is he good enough? He needs to show himself, and he needs to show the rest of the NFL that these preseason games are able to be accessed by every head coach and GM when they're making those decisions next offseason. So how Davis Gaither plays in these preseason games is really important as far as his future. The Bengals know what he can do and have full confidence that if he needs to come in and play in terms of a starting role, he's fine. In a reserve role, he's one of the best reserves, they believe, in the NFL at the linebacker role. But moving forward, what are these preseason games? What do you learn about Akeem Davis Gaither? So I would say that's another very interesting position group and position to watch. I will have my eyes on Davis Gaither because that is something where you can take your notes at practice and say he looks really good and he's able to get in games when Logan was out. And obviously, you know what he can do in games, but these preseason games when he's really running the show, now you'll get a chance to see that. At cornerback, you have Cam Taylor-Britt and Chidobe Awuzie, who is not able to participate in team drills quite yet, but for the first time this week, he was doing some one-on-one work against the receivers in a very jog through motion type, but it's good to see him progressing. There was always a hope that he could be back. Well, he fulfilled that. He is going to be back in time for week one. They're just being very cautious of what he can do. But behind him, that's what I want to talk about, is that third cornerback role. Who is it going to be given to? Because Cam Taylor-Britt, behind him is Sidney Jones on the depth chart. Behind Chidobe Awuzie, it's DJ Turner, who I talked about last week on this podcast, the rookie out of Michigan who's turning heads. Who's going to get that job as the number three cornerback for this team, who basically should be viewed as a starter? Because as Lou Anarumo often says, you can never have too many cornerbacks. And the reality is, with a 17-game season, those guys, they play a very tough position, and sometimes the injury bug will get you, as you saw last year when Cheeto went down on Halloween. You have to have a third cornerback that you believe can play a lockdown role. So who's it going to be? Sidney Jones, the veteran? Or are they going to give it to Turner, who they believe is raw but can learn into it? We'll see in the preseason. Both those guys are going to get a chance to play and really show what they can do. So that's where we're at with the cornerback role. And then let's go to safety. Let's round this out. Nick Scott came in as a free agent, and the Bengals knew what he can do from being able to watch him over the last couple of years. But Dax Hill, how much time is Dax Hill going to see in the preseason? This is something I'm interested to see how head coach Zach Taylor sorts out, because you've seen Dax Hill in games. Last year, he played a number of positions for the Bengals. Obviously, he was drafted as a safety, but because of injuries and just number standpoint, he had to spend some time playing cornerback, and they cross-trained him at a number of positions. But how much time are they going to give him to play the position that he is going to play this year at free safety in the preseason? Because he's not a rookie and he has game experience, but do you want to see what he can do as a starting safety? I think that he's going to play a lot more than a typical second year player would, but we'll see. So keep your eye on that, how he and Nick Scott play together. I would think that Nick Scott will play less than Dax Hill, and I don't think Dax Hill will play a ton, but I think they are going to get some reps together just so that they can watch how they play together. The coaching staff can see how they're growing into the scheme and playing with one another. So I think you'll see more from that safety room than you have in years past, where Jesse and Vaughn didn't play in the preseason. So it'll be interesting to see how those new pieces, because there's so many questions about that Bengals safety room with Jesse and Vaughn having played over the last couple of years and being so solid for this defense. One of the biggest things you'll say coming into the year is, what does that Bengals secondary look like with a lot of new pieces? Cam Taylor-Britt just into his second year as a starter. And of course, as I mentioned, Hill and Scott both taking over as starters for the first time in this defense preseason. We'll see how much they're able to play together, but the safety room will be something to keep your eye on. And as far as the special teams, you thought you were going to see a lot of Brad Robbins and Drew Chrisman. And that just doesn't appear to be the case right now. Chrisman was in the hospital the first week of the Bengals training camp. He is out. He's been at practice, but not dressed for practice. The injury is undisclosed right now, so we're hoping for the best for him. But it sure looks like Brad Robbins is in line to be a lock as the starting punter, because he'll get most of the reps during the preseason, and the Bengals drafted him for a reason. And with Chrisman not really able to compete against him, I do think that's going to hurt him in terms of his roster spot, but we will see. Maybe Chrisman will be back by the second or third preseason game. And as I mentioned, that punt and kick returner battle, those are two to keep your eye on for the preseason game. Well, that was a lot to take in this podcast, and I enjoyed going through that depth chart with you guys. I'm excited to bring you the latest from practice against the Packers today, and of course the game on Friday. So be sure to tune back in next week for the review of all of it, and be sure to check this podcast out on YouTube and subscribe. Thanks so much for tuning in to the Bengals Beat podcast presented by Free Store Food Bank.